How's it going, guys? Welcome back to the Tun Talks podcast. I'm your host, Darren Tun, and this is a podcast that we designed to really flesh out our ideas. So we also have world-class performers on here talking about their experience with creativity, entrepreneurship, so much more. So hope to see you guys soon. Welcome, guys, to the Creative Podcast. Today we have Andrea. We have struggled several times to get this interview, but we're finally here. Andrea, can you tell people about you who don't know? Just a little bit, like an introduction.
Yeah, sure. All right. So my name is Andrea. I actually go by Andrea, but you know, or Drea.
Drea.
I have many different names. But mainly my creative background is that I'm a photographer. That's like my main niche right now. I'm also trying to get into videography.
Awesome.
I have like an Instagram for my photography, and then my YouTube is for my videography.
Mm-hmm.
But what I actually do career-wise is that I'm an IT support analyst for a technology consulting company. So it's kind of like two different worlds almost.
Wow. Yeah. How did you get into photography?
I think I was thinking about this because I was actually listening to your other podcast just to see like how you did it. So I was thinking about that when I was listening to it. And I think looking back at it, it was something I've always subconsciously was into. I have like so many photos like ranging from like, I think, maybe I was five. That was like when I had my first camera. It was like this really crappy Barbie toy camera, film camera that actually took photos.
Wow.
Yeah. And like, so I think it started all there, but it didn't really like kick in, like really like take hold of me to like high school. I'm not sure why. I think I want to chalk it up to the movie Interstellar, like the cinematography. Yeah, dude, the cinematography in that movie crazy. Just like changed my life. Like it was so beautiful. I was like, how could I shoot like that? I'm not really good at filmmaking, but if I could do that for photography, like that'd be pretty dope. So that came out around when I was like, I think freshman or sophomore in high school. So it had a really big impact on me. I think ever since then, I've been trying to really improve, but I actually didn't get my first camera, like DSLR, until I was about to go into my freshman year of college. So it took some time.
Wow. Yeah. So you're saying that movie really inspired you to just start photography, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
What was it exactly like that you liked to photograph at the beginning?
At the beginning, it was mainly like landscape photography. I was always landscape and urban photography. As like a high schooler, like, you know, straight Asian parents, I couldn't really go out and like go to the city or go to Naperville, which is the rich town nearby.
Yeah.
The city away from the city. So I've always been fascinated by those two places, Naperville and Chicago. And so when I finally got my first camera phone, like I would always like take pictures of whenever my family and I would go out to Naperville or Chicago. So I think that's where it all started. And then as I started getting into like outdoorsy stuff, like hiking, not like intense hiking, just like simple trails and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I was really fascinated by being up close to nature for the first time in my life. So yeah, it was like landscape and urban photography is what kicked it off. And then at some point it turned into portraiture. I don't know where that transition happened actually. Like I think I just slowly started gravitating towards portraiture once I got comfortable taking pictures of other people.
So was this all during high school or like earlier on or?
Yeah, I would say the big like inspiration was in high school. That was mainly like landscape and urban photography, urban architecture. But then we went on this hiking trip or like hiking day with my cousin, and she actually got a DSLR for her birthday. And she was like, I don't know how to use this. I know you like photography. So like you could use this as like your test run if you really like photography, like see how it is.
Just like let you use it.
Yeah. It was like an expensive one. It was the 6D. She didn't realize. Wow.
Okay.
Her dad was just like, hey, I came home and I bought you a camera.
No way.
Yeah. And I was
6D
like.
6D is like, I don't know, like a photographer's dream, especially if you're a beginner. Damn. That's crazy.
I know. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with
it.
So
she let you keep it, or what was it like?
Nah, she just let me borrow it because it's an expensive camera. So yeah, I felt uncomfortable like if she let me take it. Plus, like her dad got it for her. So okay. I was like, nah, just you can keep it. I don't trust myself enough.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, we went to Starved Rock one day, which is like one of the hiking places in Illinois, and she was like, you should bring this along. I know you, how much you like taking pictures of like things. And I was like, cool, yeah, I'll try it out.
Yeah.
And I found myself like, instead of taking pictures of like the trees and like the river and the waterfall, like I usually do, I like tried to take pictures of like my cousin, her boyfriend, and like our two other friends.
Damn.
And I was like, oh, wait, you know what? I'm like pretty good at this. Like I should try photographing people more. I think that was probably when it started. And then from then on, I just fell in love with portrait photography.
Damn, so that's what you do now, like just all portrait photography or mostly?
Yeah, mostly that. Landscape and urban photography is still like my thing, just something I do for fun though.
Yeah. So are you doing that freelance now, portrait?
Yeah, I do a little bit of freelancing. I just started getting into freelancing like this year. So I don't really have many clients, but, just slowly been building up to have the confidence to do that more and take on more, especially with like working on a full-time job. So it's like difficult because you only have the weekends to freelance.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you said you got into photography before you went to college, was it? And then at college, was there ever like a decision for you of like, hey, should I do photography or should I go into a different route?
No, there was no decision. I was, you know, like the typical like Asian family.
Yeah.
I was actually going to be a nursing.
Oh, no way. Wow.
Yeah. I went into college for nursing, but then like my parents, but then I was like, nah, I don't really like it. So,
oh really?
Yeah. Like that's technology. So,
yeah. Damn. Yeah. Cause a lot of people that I've talked to, like, they're all like, oh yeah, you know, there is this decision for them, you know, and it's a very hard decision, like choosing, I guess, the arts over whatever else they, their parents want them to do in college. But yeah, have you ever decided like maybe I want to do photography full time, or has it just been like a hobby?
I definitely at one point, like that would be the dream to do photography like full time. Right. I follow so many local photographers, like Chicago photographers. They inspire me every day. They also have like degrees in like engineering and like computer science, or like their PTs or something, and yet they are doing these amazing editorials. Like they're working for Nike because they're just so good. Like they're just so honed into their craft. Like I hope to one day catch up to them.
That's awesome. So like where on from here do you hope to go? Maybe with like photography, videography, you said potentially.
I think for photography, I would want to go into the editorial route. It would really be dope to get into like fashion photography. That's more challenging than everyone thinks it is. Like you have to, it's like a combination of like portraiture and like merchandising photography. Cause like you're not only selling the model, but you're also selling like the outfit that they're wearing.
Right.
So like you really have to be creative and be like, how can you make both stand out, but not make just one item, like this whole thing. You gotta like make sure everything is like cohesive.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the model, nor is it just the clothing.
Yeah, it's like everything. You gotta like think about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't had experience with that, but like I watch videos all the time, or like I see the BTS for like all the photographers I follow who do editorial photography, and like they like go all out, like they do the most unconventional things just to like get the shot.
Wow. Yeah. Do you know like what's like the process of actually getting into a business like that?
I actually don't know. My friend, I do have like a few like photographer friends.
Yeah.
Every time I ask them, it's always like a different answer. It's never really something that's like solidified. I think that's just a common thing with like creative jobs like that, like freelancing jobs. You kind of just have to keep doing it, I guess. Like, my one friend Jason, he was just like, yeah, I just started doing wedding photography and like just small family portrait photographies on jobs on the side. And then like, once you get that client, they like you, they're going to like keep coming back, or like they're going to keep recommending you to other people. So like you start with one, and then from then on, like if you do a good job, like it just multiplies. And that's how he got his clients. And, like with my best friend's dad, he's a photographer. Same thing with him. Like I think he just started randomly taking pictures at like he's a very like sporty, active guy. So I think he started like taking pictures at all these events, like sporting events he would go to with his friends. And then I think that's where it kicked off for him. People were just like, hey, you should get paid for this, or just like volunteer as a photographer, put your stuff out there.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So have you ever considered maybe like trying to get into these fashion shows or something like that and just like shooting on the side?
Yeah, like that'd be really dope. I probably wouldn't start with like a fashion show right away, but it'd be so sick to maybe do a dance show or something.
Right.
Yeah, I remember I went to World of Dance in 2013.
Oh wow.
I was just an audience member, but like I brought my camera with me and everything.
Yeah.
But, like I remember I was just like, I gotta get this shot. Like they're gonna do something cool.
Yeah, yeah. Got that telephoto lens, like extra zoom.
Yeah. It wasn't even like a DSLR or something. It was like a simple point and shoot.
Oh really? Okay, okay.
I still have like these pictures of Ian Eastwood and like Megan Batoon, like the wanted crew, just killing it on stage. Like that was like another like point, like a pivotal point for me in like photography. Like I was like so fascinated that like I was able to capture these moments of dance just like on a simple camera.
Yeah. I would recommend trying to get into like these events and like just trying to take photographs of like, I don't know, random people and like especially people that you look up to, or just things that you want to photograph like in general. I feel like that's just the best way to get into it.
Yeah, definitely. The coolest thing that happened to me from that night was one of the dance crew's Royal Flush. One of their dancers found my pictures like on Facebook because I tagged the dance team.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, hey, I really like this picture. Can I make it my profile picture? And I was like, me? Oh my God, that's so dope.
Did he PC you?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, wow. Damn. Mm-hmm.
I actually don't know if he has his Facebook anymore, but like it was
really
dope moment for me.
yeah. Did you repost it and you're like, oh my gosh, this guy put his Facebook profile pic as like one of my pics?
Oh hell yeah. I was like, oh my God, Q from Royal Flush. Yeah. Like just, he totally just used my photo for a profile picture. Oh my God, guys, like I can't believe this happened.
Damn, that's crazy. And how long, you said that was in 2013?
Yeah, that was 2013. That was before like even like got a hold of a DSLR. That was like way before. Yeah.
No, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said you got your first DSLR after your friend kind of introduced you into like that world?
Yeah, like after my cousin, it was actually my cousin, after she like let me borrow her.
Your cousin, right? Yeah.
Yeah. After she let me borrow her like brand new DSLR, like I got like slowly got a hold of how to like work it, and then I want to say like a few months after that, my godbrother actually came to visit. And I remember that he had like a old Canon D2i. So I was like, hey, do you still use this camera? Like, if you don't want him, can I buy it off of you? And he was like, oh yeah, sure. I'll bring it with me when I visit. And I was like,
wow.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. So like everything like really fast forwarded after that hiking trip. It was pretty dope.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you still use the T2i to date, or did you?
I upgraded to a 60 Mark II just recently, actually. Dope. I think like this April I bought
one. So dope. Damn. How's that?
Oh my God. It's fascinating. It's so like, yeah, like the.
But you jump from the T2i to the 6D.
Yeah, to the 60 Mark II. This is a huge jump. Like, just the difference in the dynamic range.
Right.
Just, like, not only saves your ass, but also, like,
yeah,
gives you so much more creative freedom in how you could, like, edit your photos. Like, you could go, like, as crazy as you want because you have the range.
Right, right. Yeah. Is it really a thing when people say, like, hey, gear doesn't matter? And, you know, it's just about the person behind the camera, you know, like any, you know, good photographer can take a great shot with a T2i. I mean, like, I do believe that, but I also don't believe it when it's just like, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No. Yeah. I feel you. I was actually going to bring that up. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I could take the same exact photos on the T2i, but like you could just tell just like from the, what is that, like 10-year difference of in advance of technology, you can just tell that the photo just looks crispier, looks like more HD, but
got those megapixels in.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, yeah. But you also have to like remember that it also comes down to like your environment too. So I remember how last year that became like a huge thing on YouTube, like photography channels would be making like, what does a T2i compare to a 60 Mark II? Can you tell the difference?
Right. Peter McKinnon did something along the lines of that.
Yeah, yeah. He did. And yeah.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
It was impressive. Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But that's with the circumstances of the right lighting and like everything, like, you know, the setting, you know,
exactly.
Like I think you're about to say. Yeah,
exactly. Because like you could think if he did that challenge outside, like completely up to like the weather, like if it was say like a bright sunny day and it was like harsh lighting, you definitely wouldn't be able to edit someone's photo the same way on a T2i as versus on a 60 Mark II. Like the T2i just lacks the range.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Especially with like raw image capabilities, like the stuff that you can change afterwards. Like, I mean, T2i raw, like
it was good for its time. It was
good
for its time. It's still good. It's just just like the 60 Mark II and like other cameras today. Like the range is just so helpful.
Wow. So you're definitely probably doing a lot more freelance now, especially since you have the 6D.
You would think that, but
yeah,
slowly been like. So this year, the first half of the year was like my last semester in college. And then after May, I got hired for my first full-time job in my degree, like my field. And
IT.
Actually, yeah, it's like a harder transition than you think it is to from like being a student to a full-time employee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like I'm hoping to like get more clients, like be more comfortable, have more time, prioritize a little bit more so I could have the time to like do more freelance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's also crazy because I feel like someone said this on this podcast, maybe last episode or something like that. But they were talking about how like freelancing is almost like hunting and it's just like you constantly have to hunt to survive. So it's not like it ever stops for you, you know? It's just like you're constantly seeking for that next gig and it's not like consistent. You know?
Yeah. It's kind of just like, it's similar to like those old school movies where there's like a garage band of teenagers and they're always like trying to audition to get into the show or something.
Yeah.
that's what it's similar to, just like how actors keep searching for gigs, like photographers mm-hmm. keep searching for gigs.
Yeah, yeah. And it does take time to search for those gigs. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're spending a lot of time outside searching for gigs than you are actually shooting.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like it's a lot of not a lot of photography. Surprisingly, it's more like it's more time of marketing yourself, trying to like make sure your Instagram looks good.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That definitely. People will be attracted to you and be like, oh, her Instagram looks really nice. Like,
yeah,
I should hire her.
Right.
Or like, and then you also have to compete with like other photographers who are in your area. So yeah. a thing that happens to me a lot is that I've actually been approached to do photography for people these past few months. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they end up saying no because my prices are too high.
Oh, really?
But they're actually not. I'm actually like ridiculously cheap. But people tend to go lower because they're also trying to get in too. But that's like another issue with like freelancing in general.
No, you mean like other freelancers are trying to go in for a lower?
Yes.
Yeah.
So like my base price is $120 for the base. And then after that's per hour. Uh-huh. And then also if you want me to like retouch your photos, like make your skin look good, mm-hmm. and fix any blemishes, that bumps up to a 180 base, plus or minus travel. That's cheap.
Yeah.
And there are people who are under me, like who are just starting out too, or could be the same level as me, but because they want more clients, they'll offer their services for $50 mm-hmm. as opposed to me, who is like, I'm worth $120 or $180. I could easily like bump up my prices more because I honestly feel like I should get paid more.
You definitely should, yeah.
Yeah, like every freelancer should get mm-hmm. paid for what they deserve. And it's always going to be like high. Like if the price, I remember seeing this tweet from another successful photographer I follow. He was like, if the price makes you uncomfortable, that's how much you should be getting paid. And it's
makes
just
you
hard.
Uncomfortable or makes like the freelancer uncomfortable or makes the other?
Makes the freelancer uncomfortable.
Oh, wow. To ask for.
Yeah, to ask for. If your asking price makes you uncomfortable, that's probably how much you should be getting paid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's really difficult when like you're at 180, but then the person who's also like being looked at for a potential photo, like they're asking for 50. So obviously they're going to go with the guy who's like, oh, he's only $50.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like,
right.
Yeah.
I did see something like that on Instagram too, like a quote that said like, hey, like my rate is my rate. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't respect that rate, then obviously you don't respect my work and like this whole thing is associated with it. But yeah, like just maintaining that rate, you know, that you want to charge, you know, don't like go lower, for people essentially. Don't like lower yourself pretty much.
Exactly. Don't lower your standards for anyone. And that goes for everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Whether that's a job, a relationship, freelancing, anything.
No, it's definitely true. I think your price is definitely very reasonable. And like what you said about if you're uncomfortable to ask for that price, that is what you are worth pretty much. But it could also go higher too. And you could be like, I'm too uncomfortable to ask for like, I don't know, like 50,000, you know, because like.
Oh yeah, true.
Yeah.
Listen, fellas, do it at a reasonable rate.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're not going to ask for that. So you're going to ask for what you think is reasonable.
If you're a good person, you're going to ask what's reasonable.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So I hope your listeners are good people.
No, definitely. I hope so too. But yeah, so you do like an hourly rate after, you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That does work out, huh? Did you learn that from any particular person or did you just be like, yeah, maybe like this is how I should be doing it?
Like I've like seen how other people do it. Other people do a deposit. Other people do just like a flat rate with like a very concrete set of standards, like 30 photos. This is I'll retouch it, plus or minus travel, all the other stuff. Yeah. And then there's other people who just do the deposit and then they edit the photos and then give them the rates afterwards, like give them like the final price afterwards. The reason why I do it by hour is because I would just feel bad if like I gave them a quote, but then the quote ended up being higher than like what I initially told them, like the final price. So I just do it by hour because I feel comfortable with that. It might change. The per hour rate, I've been told, doesn't really do well as you like climb up the freelancing world. But I mean,
more like paid by by result.
Yeah, that's what most professionals do, but I'm not a professional yet, so
hey, you're getting there, so slowly. But isn't it, don't professionals normally say like before like they actually do the whole gig like set price, right?
Yeah, they do, like most people do set price.
Okay.
Once you get to the professional level, like you have a contract, like they have, because they have the money to have an actual contract and like hire a lawyer to write up the contract.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's like the safest way and most like concrete way to get paid as like a freelancer. But I'm just nowhere near that yet.
Hey, that's still cool. I did hear another trick that I learned was to create a fake email address. buy some random company, like whatever it is, like just make up some random company and then email the freelancers in your area and ask them what they would do for like a similar gig that you have. And like to say, what do you offer? You know, like show me your profile, like tell me how you're unique and this and that. And then you can kind of like find out like your base price based off of like the local freelancers in your area. And then from there on, you can also find out what makes you unique as a photographer.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Like, no, people have tried like so many different things, but I think this is one of the things that I've heard that, you know, you should just like, email all these freelancers, you know, and then try to figure out like how you would stand out. So you can be like pitching to people and be like, hey, like, this is how I'm different from everyone else. Like, you're going to go to this person, whatever. But like, I can offer this one extra thing. Plus, my price is also relatively like around the same level.
I mean, whatever works. I wouldn't have thought of that. That's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny, but it's like effective.
Yeah. Apparently it works for some people too. You should definitely try that.
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
You're going to get an email in a few days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, from like a random company? Like, yeah, okay.
You're going to reply like, is this Andrea? Yeah.
I told you to do this. Yeah. Cool.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Yes. So why did you start this podcast?
I honestly did it because like I wanted to hear people's stories. And like, honestly, you don't really hear too much about creatives in the making, which I feel like it's like stories that like I feel like haven't been told. Because like you go on a lot of these podcasts and you hear about like a lot of creatives that have made it, you know, and you hear about like a lot of like, I don't know, photographers, videographers, and they're saying how they're shooting for like all these big brands, but you never really hear about like the people that are in the grind.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And the people that are like, oh yeah, you know, I just got out of school, don't know what to do. Like everyone, you know, is in that, a lot of people are in that situation, but they don't really know people that are in that situation. So I feel like having those stories being shared is like a great way to make people feel like, wow, I'm not really alone in this. And this is what other people are doing that are my age. You know what I mean? Even if you're not going to school for photography or your school doesn't have a photography program or whatever, you can go on the podcast and listen to people who are, you know, doing similar kinds of things and you can be inspired. I don't know.
Oh, no, that's pretty dope. Oh, yeah. That's so sweet. I think that's a dope message. Like, yeah. I really hope that your podcast kicks off because this would be something that a lot of like freelancers who are beginning, or just anyone really, like maybe like some 12-year-old is like looking at their dad's camera like, I want to do photography.
Right.
Like that'd be pretty sick.
Definitely. I think right now we actually have like a whole mix of people. So we do have people in the making, and then we have like some of the successful people, and then some of like the, you know, the people that are just getting into it, and like just all different ranges of like creatives. And I think that's really good to get like that range. And it's just not like, it's not just the people that are up there, you know, it's the people that are at all different levels of their creativity, I guess. So
yeah, 100%. Like, it's totally beneficial and just awesome in general, just to hear like the different perspectives of like the different points where everyone is in life. Like, no one's at the same point in life. Like, we're all starting somewhere at a different place, different age.
Yeah. So yeah.
Pretty dope that you're doing this.
Definitely. Thank you. Yeah. And lastly, the last question I ask is, if you have any social media or anything like that, tell people how to find you, whatever. Yeah.
the YouTube style, like, sign off or like,
yeah. Pretty much.
This is my first time doing this.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. Please follow Darren. You can follow me on Instagram. at Adreezy, that's spelled AEREEZY. You can follow me on Twitter too. YouTube, same thing. I do not have a custom link, but if you look up that name, I will show up. And if you're a young professional like me, you could also add me on LinkedIn at Andrea Ikarma.
Dope. All right. That's cool. All right. Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk soon or whatever. We'll keep in touch.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Good luck with whatever else you're doing.
You too.
All right. See you.
See ya.